I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
This season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta has had ups, downs, and plenty of conflict.
From Kenya Moore's surprise divorce announcement to her ongoing feud with NeNe Leakes, there has been a lot to discuss.
So we're breaking down the key moments of season 12 so you are fully prepared for the upcoming reunion.
Which, from what we've heard, is epic.
It actually drove Andy Cohen to his first hangover since self-quarantine.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So we've got all the ladies. That's NeNe, Kenya, Candy, Portia, Cynthia, Eva, Marlo, and of course, Tanya Sam, to take us through the biggest drama of the season, courtesy of BravoTV.com's The Real Housewives of Atlanta After Show.
See, we're looking out for you.
Let's take a listen.
Is it fair to say the charity event didn't go as planned?
It was a huge success. Everyone had a great time, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful event, I have to say. And I have to take the credit for that because a lot of it was my doing. Listen, I've thrown some of the most fabulous parties Atlanta has ever seen, honey. We are not going to forget my forever fabulous and forever relevant party. Season 5. I mean, come on. What was more fabulous than that? Like, I know how to throw a party. I know how to make things look grand. I know that that is a lane that I really do well in. And so I wanted to take the lead, but he also wanted to take the lead, and you can only have one quarterback.
Probably have a step and repeat here. It's got to be right when you first come in. The stage has to be here. Got the plugs, so it makes sense.
I think
you have your tables here, bam, bam, bam. Not too close to the bathroom. The food shouldn't be close to the bathroom.
It'll be tight for
that's
100.
Like about, that's 50 people versus 100 people. Seats, the tables can't be near the bathroom, so everything has to be on this side.
I think that Mark likes to be a boss, and he is a boss in his own right. So he's used to taking the lead on business things. But I'm his partner, and he needs to understand that when you have a partner, you consult with your partner, you do things together instead of racing ahead and basically pretending or treating me like I'm a work buddy versus a partner. So I let him take the lead, but eventually it circled back around to him really needing my help to pull it off.
Mm. Yeah.
I was trying to step in at the last minute to take care of some of the fires, but had I been involved from the beginning and really had the reins from the beginning, it could have been like out of this world.
Do you feel like Mark was respectful enough to you through this process? Do you feel like he was?
Respect? What's that? What? No, I'm sorry. I think that when you want to take the lead on everything, I don't think that you respect many things that other people have to bring to the table, including myself. No, I think that I should have been treated in a way that honored the gifts that I have, that I could have blessed him with for the event. And I just don't think it ended up like that.
How do you like the step and repeat?
It's
fine.
Just fine. I just step and
I hate it.
Everybody knows that.
I just felt like all night there was tension. I just didn't think he was very warm to me. He never thanked me in front of the crowd. It was just a lot going on, but I kept my head up and a smile on my face to represent our family well. It just wasn't a pleasant evening, and it just did not end well. And I just think at that point we were just very tired of the back and forth and just the stress of our relationship and where we were.
Is Mark happy? Mm-hmm. I don't know where he went to. It's like, yes.
It's like.
It's invasive. Someone that said they can't film forever. Tell them they gotta wrap it.
Got it.
Don't tell me I got it. I'm giving you 5 minutes and then I'm gonna take care of it. If I come back down here, it's gonna be ugly. I don't give a F. End it. So they're never gonna see me again after this event.
But I'm just happy that the event turned out to be what he wanted.
Do you think that Mark knew he was going to file for divorce the next day while you were at this party?
I don't think so. I couldn't tell you what Mark was planning on doing right after the event. All I can tell you is he was not in a good mood at the event.
I was surprised that day because everything seemed to go so well with the event. I just wasn't expecting them to leave having an argument.
Right.
Right.
That was shocking to me. And I definitely didn't think that it was going to be so bad that they had to separate.
When we were leaving the charity event, remember all the couples got together and we all took this group picture and then we all went our separate ways. The next morning, out of nowhere, on the blogs, it hits that Mark filed for divorce or something like that, and then Kenya responds. And that's when I called you.
Right.
Because I definitely didn't want to call her. I could only imagine how many calls she was getting. And I called you like, please tell me this is a lie.
No, I was completely shocked when I actually read it on the blogs as well.
She didn't tell you?
Nope. I read it on the blogs first, and then I spoke to her.
I know this is hard. I know you guys were having some issues. I know you've shared a lot with both Kenya and I, but I did not. I mean, I had no idea that it was, well, I didn't know anything about the statements until I read them.
Well, he kind of like forced my hand with that.
Kenya shared with me after the event that when they were preparing to leave, that he was kind of going back and forth with production and someone was trying to, you know, ask Kenya for a picture. He didn't like that. And then that kind of prompted an argument. And then he argued in the Uber on the way home. And then, you know, things just kind of got crazy in the Uber.
I've seen him angry before. I've never seen him angry like that, where we're that close to each other.
The Uber driver asked him to get out of the car.
The Uber kicked him out of the car, Kenya.
Asked him to leave because he started.
It was that crazy?
He was very, it got really out of hand.
I just felt like that was a major decision for them to just go from, we had a argument to now we're announcing divorce. Right. Like,
it
I felt
wasn't
like.
My choice to
I
announce.
Know it wasn't yeah, your choice. So, we talked about that. Yeah. It wasn't her choice, but, you know, he made an announcement, so she made an announcement, and I just felt like they jumped the gun. I felt like maybe if you have this argument or whatever,
cool
and
off.
Then you cool off, yeah. then you could come back, you know, more with a clear right. mind and maybe talk things through.
Now, obviously, a big transition happened. You guys were working together, but then it sounds like it kind of blew up. What happened? What can you tell me about the, and you know, I get it, if there's only so much you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But what, so far as you feel comfortable, what happened there? What was the transition?
I just think when people argue, I argue about what I'm actually feeling. My husband doesn't necessarily do that. He might be arguing with you about a pair of socks, but we already know you're not really mad about socks. You're mad about something else. So
he's indirect about it.
He's indirect about what he's angry about.
Let's go back to the charity event. There was a couple of things I really didn't appreciate that night about the charity event. Like, you know, at the end of the day, whatever issues Kenya and I go through, she's my girl. She's my girl, and I know how invested and how much she loves her family.
Yeah.
That night, I guess I was paying even more attention than I would normally because Mike was hosting. And one of the things that I noticed that Mark didn't do was he didn't thank Kenya for helping him with the event, which I know she did. Kenya's the reason we were all there. Well, we didn't know Mark. We knew Kenya.
Your soon-to-be husband kind of prompted him. Remember that?
Yeah.
Again, thank you guys for all attending.
One more time for your kings. And I know the Black Man's Lab, they don't let women in or whatever, but we want to acknowledge our queens out there as well.
Thank your wife, acknowledge your wife, and say, you know, he gives up and gives, you know, he stands up and gives a speech, and he does not even acknowledge Kenya. I know how involved she was.
Right.
And
right.
making sure that he had an amazing event. And I just,
you don't think
that
it was
didn't
just
sit well with
an
me.
Accident. And I'm just saying, he's not super duper outgoing from like the communication standpoint.
Again, thank you guys for all attending.
So maybe, like, yeah, he should have thanked his wife, but
I receive what you're saying, but, you know,
and Mark ain't my friend. I'm just, you
look,
know.
I receive what you're saying, Eva, but I just feel like, I'm not saying that he intentionally set out to not acknowledge her or thank her. I just thought it was just really in poor taste that he didn't.
So you must have been surprised Kenya even showed up for the trip at all.
Yes. Well, what happened was...
What?
She wasn't there at the airport. So we were all like, is she coming? We didn't know.
I knew she was coming.
I knew she was coming.
Why did you think she was coming? Why were you sure?
She'd been gone for a whole year, so I knew she was coming.
The first thing I said when we got to the airport was, I know some of you ladies have issues with Kenya. So I was like, can we just put that aside and just let her be comfortable and just be have a little compassion for the situation?
Like, we got to the airport and she wasn't there. She waited to come late. I'm not just gonna sit there on that delayed flight all that time with them. Like, she kills me. Like, who are you where you can't sit and wait for a damn delayed flight with all of us? Like, it kills me. Like, stuff like that does bother me with Kenya. You guys, that's crazy.
When I saw the headlines, I just reached out and just tried to pour some love real quick. And then, because she didn't text me back again, so I took that as she needed a minute. Mm-hmm. And when I saw her in Greece for the first time, she was completely back to normal.
Hold up, is that Kenya?
Excuse me.
I made it, guys.
Woo!
Yeah. Woo-hoo!
We made it. We're in Greece.
We made it!
Are y'all ready?
She was just regular Kenya, and it was, let's have a good time, guys. I want to enjoy the day, blah, blah. So at that point, I didn't want to even bring it up at all or pull it to the side and say, girl, I know. I didn't even want to say anything. I wanted to just ride off of whatever energy she was giving. The way I addressed it in the group was to say, let's just have a good time. Let's deal with that at another time. Let's not even deal with that until she's ready. You know,
you don't wish that on anyone. I was like, I'm really sorry, and I'm glad you're here.
I think that everyone was very supportive initially. But look, I knew it was coming. I just knew. I know these girls, and I know how cruel they are. And I know that they will kick you while you're down. And I just knew that they were just going to find a moment to kick me.
Last week, we saw you talking to Cynthia about co-parenting with Mark.
I have not spoken to him. You know, he calls and FaceTimes with Brooklyn, but...
With you FaceTiming or just the nanny?
The nanny.
Well, we're working on it. It has not been better. Our relationship is better than it's been since I can remember. Mm-hmm. And I just think that Mark... really wants to work it out, and we are going to counseling, and we've been doing a great job with Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark seems to really like you.
Oh, Lord, yes, Jesus. Even at the bowling alley, he was like, no, I love Nene. Nene and I are in a good place. Isn't that right, Kenya? Or Ken, or whatever he calls her.
So I want you guys both there. Kenya agrees?
I agree.
Ooh, I was like, who team are you on?
Kenya, how did you feel when your husband said that he has nothing against Nene?
I had a problem with the fact that he is always kissing Nene's ass from meeting her once or twice, and she introduced Greg to him. So somehow that made him feel so good and so important that he, like, is riding for her.
Nene was nice to me the first time I met all of you. She showed me the ultimate respect. So I don't have a problem with the woman. The woman's very nice. I do want him to be a part of the event. It's for a cause, and it's bigger than any, you know, petty stuff.
And I'm like, but what about me? I'm your wife. You need to ride for me. If someone mistreats me, they mistreat you. We are a family. We're one. And so I don't understand why, if I'm constantly telling you this woman is evil to me, she's talked about our unborn child, she has said and done nasty things, why do you like her?
Mark seemed like he's a nice guy. You know, I don't know what it is to be in a relationship with him, because that's always different.
No, you mean you don't know what it's like to be in a relationship with Kenya?
Well, I'm sure, with her and with him, you know?
You know that's a situation.
You know, a person could be really nice, but you don't know how they operate in a relationship.
We should have knew something was wrong there, though, with their relationship. Then...
They are true.
At this point, I remember you talking about him needing to become assimilated into Atlanta society. Do you think it had anything to do with that?
NeNe is not the person in the group that's most connected in Atlanta. Candy is, and it's not because she's sitting right there. Okay? Seriously, she is not the socialite. No one wants to invite her to any party. She's loud and obnoxious, and she treats her fans horribly. So no one's clamoring to get at NeNe to invite them to things in Atlanta. Candy is the only one that I would have to say, if you want to meet the elite of Atlanta, you would need to buddy up to Candy. I mean, she's friends with the mayor. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, I guess Tanya's out and about a lot now, too.
She now, okay, we're talking about this because of the show. Because prior to that, you never saw Tanya anywhere. We didn't know who Tanya was. We didn't know who Paul was. Now she suddenly is a socialite because of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Thank you very much, Candy.
I want to get a little bit further.
What?
You don't have a lot of time.
Where's the lie?
I've extended olive branches to her several times. At the Jungle Brunch, and then I reached out to her another time and wished her Happy Mother's Day. She didn't respond. I extended an olive branch to her before we ever started filming.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
I sent her a text just telling her that whatever we were going through, it was just unnecessary for us to be at odds. And I extended marital advice, which I
don't give. You kept trying to reach olive branches to her.
I did like 10 times.
I think that for NeNe to put that little olive branch out and then to have it sort of not received.
Oh, yeah.
She felt really hurt.
I'm fine with fellowshipping.
Nope. She's reached out to Kenya before, but I will also give Kenya that, hey, I may not be ready to forgive you yet. Like, I mean, and so that has been the kind of thing in the past. Kenya hasn't been ready, and NeNe's been kind of reaching out, and that is okay. However, in that moment, it was so real what they were doing together and kind of bonding in Kenya's hurt that it just would have been a good moment. I'm not faulting Kenya for still being upset and, you know, or however long it would have taken her. I just think in that little moment, they could have had something. But nobody ever asked Kenya why she didn't want to talk to NeNe in that moment. So I think that is the question that we would need to, you know, that anybody would need to know. Because to everybody else who was there, it was like, this is a good moment. But, you know, you have to ask her to see why she just didn't feel comfortable opening up in that moment.
Right. When Cynthia left for us to speak, I thought, you know what, I was just vulnerable. I was just speaking to these girls about my situation. And here it is. The person I have the biggest issue with is who I felt like was being shady at the table already, is now trying to talk to me one-on-one. And I didn't want to open those can of worms and then us debating who's right and who's wrong. Mm-hmm. You said this to me when, no, I didn't. And like going back to the petty reasons why she believes she's right in a situation with me.
Gotcha.
And I just could see steps and steps and steps of us just going down a black hole and it being bad. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know what, let's just leave it here. Being positive, we'll speak another time. This is just not the right time. Mm-hmm. And I think that was reasonable. Because I didn't want it to make it be about me and NeNe at that point.
Not on the first night. I get what you mean.
Not on the first night. Like, let's just give me a minute to, like, grieve and have some fun. And then when the time is right, let's talk. But the first night and sitting there and seeing how she was behaving at the table, I was just like, I just was not feeling it. And I have a right to feel that way.
The fact that she didn't want to talk, you know, it seemed like NeNe took offense to it. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it was like, you know, because I guess, well, the way I took it, NeNe felt like, you know, I'm trying to make an effort and she doesn't even want to talk to me. And then she was just basically saying, like, well, it's not that I don't want to talk to her. I just don't want to talk right now.
Right.
And that wasn't necessarily.
Different. Right. Very different.
Yeah. It wasn't communicated well and wasn't received.
The problem is you can't throw mud on me. I throw mud on you. We go back and forth, and then you decide, okay, I'm going to stop throwing mud today. Let's call a truce. Like, no, right. Bitch, I'm still throwing mud. Like,
and I think
we're still in the middle of the fight. You can't decide you want to pull out the fight now. You done started the fight.
Right. Well, I think that was Kenya's position. She
Absolutely.
Just wasn't receptive to it. Those were her reasons. You know me, little happy Pisces. I just was like, oh, you guys can,
let's get over
can be good with this today.
Honestly, the pace of the trip was going so positively.
I had just had a great conversation in heart-to-heart with Nene, which to me, the majority of the time we had been spending together, I didn't think it was possible. So I'm like, there's the energy here in Greece that, you know, if you sit somebody down and you talk to them, you know, you can open up and it can have a great result.
Yeah.
So we came up with the ruin party of do not ruin your friendships.
What the ruins party is you discuss whatever the issue
is. Oh, and leave it there. That's
and then
right.
It has to stay there and never discuss it again.
And you put
right?
the crown on or something.
Right.
Only, so you only can talk if you have the crown
only
on your head.
If you have the crown in your hand, is you can speak and you discuss whatever your issue is with the person that's sitting in the circle. And then once you discuss it, it's dead.
All those rules were broken.
You are a big ass bully, bitch.
Wait.
You are a negative Betty anyway, girl. Right. If you don't have a crown, you should be shutting the up.
What's wrong with you? Is this the bipolar need?
Oh my God, it was a freaking disaster.
Where'd it go wrong?
Everywhere. It went wrong so hard, it's not even funny.
Bipolar Kenya, go get your medication. That's why your husband left, bitch, because you're a Everything was with Kenya. I didn't have anything with anybody.
Was it even with Kenya? Like, how did you guys even get there?
It was Kenya Japanese sandwich. It was with Kenya. It was.
No, but I'm saying, how did that happen?
Kenya roasted, sit there the entire time.
How many red wines are there? I'll wait.
Several. What? She quickly forgave her.
All right, well, that's what I had to say. Well, thank you.
Okay.
They want a hug. Let them hug.
If I had done just one time, that would have been held against me for the rest of the time that I had been around. That's how one-sided it is.
I will say she forgives her more, and Kenya just knows how to apologize to her, because I'm trying to think, were you there then?
I never
in
did
Toronto,
nothing like that to
I'm
her.
Just going back.
Never.
Kenya confronted Kenya about ruining her engagement. Do you remember
Cynthia.
That? Cynthia.
Yeah.
Kenya, you came up to me and said, I think Mike is going to propose to you tonight.
If that somehow translated to me messing up a moment for you, I would die if that's the case. Before I just couldn't even show my face if that was the case with you and me.
So I get Kenya's ass passes all the time. You know, I have compassion for her childhood, her upbringing with, you know, not having her mom. I didn't really read that much into it, but after a while it was just like, okay, this isn't funny anymore.
Oh, and that was, baby, I couldn't have never done what she did. I would have been.
Kenya, a smooth operator. She just came and was like, no, this girl right here, I love like a sister. I would ride for this bitch. I might not Cynthia, damn, let me come like that. You'd be like, I can't trust Marlo. I want
that friend. She would have done the same thing to me.
After pretty much everyone is in a good place, with the exception of Kenya and Nene, Portia and Tanya decide that it's a good idea to have a ruins party to just kind of like anything else that anyone wants to put on the table or burn up and go away or whatever, we would do it at this party.
Okay. So tonight we are putting everything into the ruins and we are going to leave it there and we are going to never visit again. So if you're speaking, first hold the crown, whomever you would like to address or just talk to about love or get something negative that y'all can get rid of, you hand it to the individual, okay?
I think we all wanted them to try to get to some kind of place. Problem was, there was a lot of alcohol, as usual. So that did not happen.
Our houses, our families, our partners, our spouses are the most precious thing we have.
A married woman wouldn't do that to another woman. Low. So low.
That was an acceptable thing.
You have done so many things.
Shut up,
y'all
bitch, I'll
fuck you up. Please do. Please assault me with a penis.
You need to be assaulted.
Shut up, Nene. You're just a low-life scum. Please assault me. Please go to jail again.
You are a big ass woman with no face.
You and I were sitting in the chair and we were like, oh my God.
I was actually like looking at production like, aren't you gonna stop this? It was madness.
And y'all know I have been here for what, 7 years? And I have been in some of the worst arguments. I'm never usually trying to control it because I'm probably in it. But I was trying to control them and it was not happening. Nobody could say anything else or do anything else because when they started at each other, the party was done. It was ruined.
First of all, I want to go back, and this is no excuse. I'm just saying that we definitely were drinking. You definitely had your drinks.
Yeah, you definitely had yours.
You really got yours in, though.
Girl, Marlo, I had nothing to do with this. Yeah, I'm
you were in
her.
The argument with her. She started saying stuff to you.
No, I know you're good at acting.
Let's see, now you want. Let's see what
no,
I'm saying.
Because I'm speaking from my heart
so
right now.
So what was
I'm
acting? Speaking on when, my you, when you told me.
It's her turn, ain't it, Port Marlo?
I didn't talk when you talk.
Do I look like I'm acting with you?
You do.
She did?
Marlo, stop. You can't wait to see yourself. You and her had a whole banter.
Whatever we had, y'all took it right on the way. It was nothing. Yeah. We had nothing compared to them.
I don't know how we got there, but I threw popcorn at her.
At that point, it was popcorn being thrown. It was a whole mess, Eva.
Hold on, there was throwing of stuff?
Yeah, it was like Nina was kind of throwing popcorn at her.
No, I saw her doing like this. Which
come on, girl.
Actually funny.
Which
like,
I thought it was
like,
funny at the time because it was like we were all so drunk.
You know, yeah. She was still sitting at that point. Yeah. She was just tossing popcorn at Kenya or whatever. Then the word bitch just dropped and it was like boom.
So you are a big ass bully, bitch.
Wait a minute, now you just called me a bitch. What is this?
Like, all you can do is run your mouth.
Wait. And next thing I know, Kenya was pointing. She hadn't gotten up yet. And Nene was all in it. And Marlo was in front of her.
Marlo was kind of like, you know, over there, like hype man. Like, you know, sis, yeah, you know, don't let her talk to you.
They look good on her, though. I wish I had some.
You got too much money to be that.
No, let her be ugly. You're as ugly as you look on the inside.
Let the vent. Let the vent. She doesn't like the vent. New booty.
And I even went over and sat by Nene because I really wanted to be that kind of positive reinforcement in that whole situation because I kind of feel like at the end of the day, with as much history as I've had with Nene, I'm Nene's girl and Marlo's like a side chick. And I'm always going to be like, hey, bring it back. Love. Like, I'm gonna do all that. I mean, what? Where's the lie?
There's not one. That's why I haven't said anything.
So how do things escalate to the point where you fake spit on Kenya?
Everybody there
you
know
did
it was
the
no
gesture,
spit.
Sure, but you
I
didn't
did.
Do
I said
it.
I had to spit on you.
I'm spitting your mother. Okay, now you're doing the most.
But, of course, she needs something to hold on to. This is going to be good for her. So for press, she was like, she tried to spit on me. On a person that spits on you, you should never speak to them again in your life.
You guys are entertaining fighting, though.
No, I'm tired.
I don't want...
Well, who she's going to fight with? Well, let's see what happens next time, because...
Y'all are both just like, ah!
You know, I'm not giving up now. You come over here and with me.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You know, I'm going in.
So next time she come for you, just walk away. So you know what? Not today. Not today, though.
Not today, Satan.
Tensions were still high by the time we got to Candy's baby shower.
I didn't know. It was an open bar and Hennessy sponsored.
Thanks,
Candy.
Yeah, it was a little crazy.
They trying to, like, my whole stuff.
But you gonna do? You gonna need security.
You're the low-class blonde in the
way. That's gonna be what you want.
You're never what I want.
What was on the blog, though? There was a blog. Because Marlo, in regular petty Marlo fashion, pulls her phone out and acts as if she can't read, like, what she's looking at, which was very bizarre.
Read me what this. It's a Google alert. What does that say?
Marlo brings out
the blog
her phone,
thing.
And there's a blog. What was the blog
What
again?
Was it again?
Kenya Moore, Nene's a bully with no friends. Let the shade throwing begin.
That's what it was.
Kenny, you talked to TMZ about Nene and about the spitting incident in Greece. Is that right?
I did nothing but tell the truth. And again, she had to say, oh, well, yeah, I did. What is the
you
word?
You said he spit something at me, right? Or something. I think
she hawked up as though she was going to spit.
Oh, yeah, that's you what said I as said. Though she was going
yeah,
to
spit. Yeah, and that was the truth.
I'm spitting your mother.
Okay.
And she was also spitting things at me, which, you know, I didn't say that part, but it's two things she did.
She was throwing stuff at you.
She was throwing things at me. She was spinning things at me. And then she tried to hawk up spit out of her mouth to spit on me.
Well, Kenya did an interview with TMZ, and in part of the interview, they talked about Nene.
Right.
And she said, you know, how basically in the circle right now, Nene really doesn't have a whole lot of friends.
Right. Which was true at one point.
Which was true at one point. You know, she ended up making amends with a lot of us.
Yeah, everybody's clear how, you know, we all left off.
Yes. That created, like, melee, like, out of nowhere. And it ends up being this whole thing, and I'm like... Oh my God.
And then they almost get into it again.
Nene tried to spit on me.
No, I did not. Let's be very clear, bully. You don't bully the plenty of people in this circle, okay?
People.
Plenty of people.
Plenty of people.
I said, yeah, I said this. You did try to spit on me, which was the truth. And then Nene was like, oh, no, I didn't try to spit on you. So that's what that was about. Mm-hmm. It was just, again, her lying because she did.
I don't even know what happened. All I know is that we had an exchange in words. And once again, she does her provoking thing.
So you understand.
All right, go back over there, Kenya.
I don't have to go anywhere. I'm talking to Shamia.
You're trying to provoke me.
She got up out of her seat and came right over here and stood right by me.
Make sure you get closer to me. No, don't touch me now. Hold on. Don't touch me, because that ain't going to be what you want. You did. Put your hand on me. Be very clear.
This is a celebration of life.
You ain't going to do nothing with me now.
First of all, Kenya knows she can't fight. Okay, that's number one. So why you are trying to provoke people, it doesn't make any sense. I'm telling you, as an African-American community, we know when there's an exchange, you don't put your hand in somebody's face. When you have a heated exchange with somebody, you know you get them 50 feet. Don't stand in their, don't get in their personal space, right? She hopped right up and come and stand right here. It's only because it's Nene, okay? So she come and stand right here. Now, if I beat her ass, then everybody looking at me like you did something wrong. She keep trying to get hit, just like, yeah. You know.
So you don't
security!
Security! Security!
I work here, dear. You'll
security.
Be ushered out before
security.
Me.
Security, thank you.
It's like, girl, quit calling security.
Know, like, girl, I'm over here in too much wrong way.
You sitting over here doing all this? It's so crazy. It's just too much. Yeah. I just think it's unfair.
I just remember I was like, yeah, you did. Okay, she was like, oh, you don't want none of this. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't. I don't want any of it. And I just kind of left it as it was. And then I went over to talk to Shamia, who was standing near Nene. And I went around and I wasn't even talking to Nene or anything. And then she stands up. And you want to talk about provoking people. Is that not provoking someone to stand up as though and get in their face as though you're going to fight them? I mean, it's just crazy.
And this is while you were announcing the baby's name, too. Were you aware of any of this, or?
No. Well, I just kind of was getting annoyed because my thing is, like, this is my moment to basically introduce my baby's name. My family's here. And I was going to introduce Shadina, who was carrying my baby at the time. Nobody really knew her, not my family anyway. I had told some of you guys about her, introduced some of y'all to her, but my family hadn't met her. They didn't even know who she was. She was just amongst the party, you know? So it was, for me, I was like really annoyed. And, you know, while I'm on stage trying to make this
big. This
is a
happy moment.
Yeah, I'm trying to make this big announcement, and then I see them over there yelling at each other, and I'm like, really? This is not the time or the place.
No class.
You love telling somebody they ain't got no class.
Kenya and Nene, it's like, let's just say they ain't gonna be friends no time soon.
Are you gonna try to make them make amends?
No, I'm done with it.
Don't
I'm
you
done.
Call me about no dinner.
I'm done. You guys heard it first. Hi, my name is Cynthia Bailey, and I want the world to know that I am done with trying to make Nene and Kenya Moore Daily become friends. I am done. You heard it here first.
So you started to read Mike's memoir.
What's his memoir called?
Open Mike. Mike's writing a book called Open Mike.
Okay.
And, you know, when I met Mike, he was actually writing the book. And I think I may have done myself a disservice not to read that book. As soon as it was done, from cover to cover, you know, he kind of like, you know, read some stuff to me. And I kind of grazed through it. But maybe I should have been a little bit more focused to just kind of see exactly what I was working with. He pretty much, you know, talks about his childhood to, like, present day. And, you know, he's, you know, his marriages, he's been married twice. Mm-hmm. There was some infidelity in both marriages. But, like, you know, his past is his past. We all have a past. I think that he's still a work in progress.
What you read led to a tense discussion, didn't it?
We don't know how to argue.
Oh, you don't know how to argue either.
I do know how to argue.
No, you die, you're going to see. That's the problem.
You'd like to be like, I ain't got time for this.
Yeah, because I don't want to deal with that bullshit.
One of the things that Mike and I have struggled with is, not that we do it that much, but is learning how to argue with each other.
It's so necessary.
I know. And I talked to you about this as well. I talked to Kenya about it.
To argue
and I actually talked to you about it. Exactly. I am the type of person when I argue, I want us to stay and argue it out. Mike is the opposite.
That's
Mike
not always healthy.
Is like, I know, because I've definitely said, you know, in the past, some unforgivable, mean-spirited things in the heat of the moment when I was upset. Mm-hmm. He feels like when he gets upset, he wants to leave and go cool off. He does not want to say anything that he
will regret.
You know, will regret. And
I'm a Mike. No.
And I had to learn, and we had to learn how to effectively have our arguments without, you know, it just turned into like a bigger deal.
Yeah.
You know?
There's so much uncertainty in the world right now. It can be overwhelming at times.
I truly think everyone has been feeling a wide range of emotions over the last few weeks, from anxiety, stress, depression, grief, relationship issues.
All of it, which can really interfere with your happiness and prevent you from achieving your goals.
Thankfully, online professional counseling through BetterHelp is here for you now more than ever.
With services available worldwide, BetterHelp is the most convenient option.
You can talk with counselors from the comfort of your own home, which is perfect given the current state of social distancing, and connect in a safe and private online setting.
You can connect with a counselor in under 24 hours. Counselors have a broad range of expertise, and BetterHelp will match you with a counselor that's right for you.
You can send them a message at any time, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly sessions over the phone or video call, whatever works for you.
It's so, so convenient. Plus, it's so much more affordable than traditional options without feeling uncomfortable in an office or waiting room, and financial aid is available.
If your counselor is not the right match for you, you can change free of charge.
Right now, the Daily Dish listeners can get 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp.com/dish. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dish, DISH.
All right, let's go to a Bravo Insider question. Cynthia, Suzanne A. asks, are you going to move to California with Mike or stay in Atlanta after you're married? Or will you split your time between both places? Hashtag chill.
Well, that's a great question.
Yes. Where are you going to live, Cynthia? I have inquiring minds like to know.
Right now, we are still working it out. Just being in a bi-coastal relationship. Mike has a new show, which is basically a talk show about Black excellence.
It's so good.
African-American issues, the culture. And so he's spending more time than ever in L.A.
Okay, so hi. It is 10-9-2020. Tomorrow, we get married. It is 10-10-2020. Right. We go on honeymoon. We come back. Where y'all going? how does this work? I'm just wondering.
I have this vision in my mind, but you know, Mike has an opinion about everything.
I can see that.
You know, it's not like I can be like, wear this, walk this way.
That's not that.
Cut your hair like this. He's not that dude. You know, the show that he's on right now is doing really well, so I don't think that's going anywhere. Right now, honestly, I'm spending most of my time in Los Angeles. Right now.
That's fine. 10-10-2020,
right.
You go on honeymoon,
where are we going?
You come back, where do you go?
Well, we're either going to be at Lake Bailey or we're going to be, you know,
but it's
at
French,
our home
it's
in L.A.
Me.
Yeah. You know, Mike's whole issue has always been, I don't want to get married and not be in the same house with my wife.
And that's right. What I'm nicely as a friend trying to say to you. There is no way you can start this marriage and the relationship with this man for the rest of your life.
Right.
And y'all not cohabitate.
I totally receive what you're saying. Even if I did live in Los Angeles full time or he lived in Atlanta full time, we're on the road a lot for work. So we would never be in the house every day together. We just don't have those type of careers.
But it's the back to one of it
right.
all. I am in Dallas. You know, girl,
oh, that's
you
true.
Every day. I'm
that's
in
true.
Dallas. My husband is on right. different trials in different states.
Right. Mike's
but
on the road a lot, too.
Is one place. It's
right.
where we both live. It is where we
right.
both
when you do go
exist.
Home, this is where it
where
is.
Where is that?
Well, right now, it's like Bailey in L.A. It is. I mean, this is what it is.
Are you one
right now today
or a flight?
Right.
Wherever that is, y'all can go to the moon if you want to, but y'all got to be together.
Right.
With you and Todd was the amount of time that you had for the family. How's that going, the time management thing?
Oh, it's still not going.
went well.
We need you. I love my kids, but I want to spend time with you as well.
I want to spend time with you too.
Well, act like it. Act like it.
You know what? The way I look at it is, the fans and other people don't understand, but my family understands. Mm-hmm. And that's what matters to me. And I'm happy that my husband, if he knows I'm going to be out of town for a long period of time, he could be there with the kids, plus our million help.
Yes, your village.
My friend Katrina helps out. Miss Peggy helps out. My cousin Weenie be over there helping us. And my mom helps as well. And everybody's pitching in, you know what I mean? Right. There are moments that I'm not going to lie that, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, I cannot believe I had to miss this. You know what I mean? But it happens.
Yeah. You're a CEO mom, so that's what happens.
And so I just look at it like this. Yes, I do work a lot. Is that ever going to change anytime soon? No. Probably not. But the thing about it is my family is like, you got to do what you got to do. Right. You know, it helps everybody.
Well, you talk a little bit about how you feel Todd is a little too hard on the kids sometimes.
In his relationship with Kayla, which is his daughter who came into the marriage with. Sometimes I feel like he wants to control what I do for Kayla.
Okay, so everybody knows that we're a blended family. Todd and I both came into the relationship with girls. So our daughters, the oldest, Kayla being 23 now, and Riley is 17. We definitely have had arguments in the past, mainly because, like, with Kayla, say, for instance, around her birthday or around Christmas, he likes to determine what we're gonna do for her on during those times, whereas, you know, he bases it off of, well, she needs to save money for this, or we should just hold it until this happens, or, you know, whatever. Whereas I just feel like, you know, well, so what if she got in trouble this day or whatever, she made us mad or whatever. It's her birthday, so just let her do what she wants to do.
She's the more lenient parent.
I am.
Yeah, she's the more lenient parent, and he's more of the disciplinarian, and he's also a man. So that's a hard position to be in, mm-hmm. because you're like, oh, just, you know, forget about that.
Yeah, she's grown. You know, he feels like, oh, you know, if she hasn't been responsible in a situation or whatever, then, you know, well, she shouldn't get this or shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, okay, but she's 23. Let her live. You know what I mean?
I kind of agree with Todd, I have to say.
I get what you're saying. You always agree with him.
We kind of have, the same kind of sensibility when it comes to that kind of thing. But
well, I feel like, to be honest, he's taking a lot of hits from the fans and a lot of negativity because of his reaction. Now, things that I will say I definitely don't agree with, it's kind of like we can talk to each other about what we feel, you know, should happen in certain situations, but ultimately, you know, the birth parent in that situation has the final say. Mm-hmm. Now, in the future, when, you know, with our smaller kids that we have together, obviously we're going to have to, you know, compromise a bit more.
Your mom, Mama Joyce, and Todd got into a little bit of a thing before this event. What happened there?
Oh, God.
My mom is not coming.
Why is she not coming?
Because of how you treated her earlier today.
How did I treat her earlier today?
You purposely did not speak to either one of us while we was at the restaurant.
She and I had went to breakfast down the street from our house, and Todd and another friend of ours came in the restaurant, but he never came back and spoke to us. We didn't even know he was in there. But I thought he would at least come by our table and say, hey, and then go on about his business. But he didn't speak at all. And the other friend that was with him came back and spoke. So that's how my mom knew he was there. Todd did pay for our food, but he walked out. So he felt like, well, at least I paid for your food. You know what I'm saying? And so he walks out, and then we're walking out like kind of right behind him, but he never did turn around to say hello to her or acknowledge her at all. And so She was pissed, to say the least.
Why wouldn't he even say anything? What was the reason?
Well, I think she had said something about him recently. I think she said something to me. It wasn't favorable.
Since first grade, I found out that people, they'll take your money.
All right.
You have to watch people.
So when he knew we were going to breakfast together and he was coming by the same spot, he was just planning to avoid talking to my mother. But it's one thing to avoid us if you don't see us and she doesn't know you're around. But if she knows you're around and you don't even acknowledge her, to say that is just disrespectful.
You can't do that exactly. To someone's mother.
You can't. And so
regardless of
pissed.
Where you are, you cannot disrespect someone's mom.
So I was pissed as well because I'm like, dude, like a hello costs you nothing. Regardless of whatever, that set my mom off, and she was like, she wasn't coming to our baby shower because basically,
but that's nothing to do with your baby.
Well, she was mad at him, and she said if she would have come to the shower, she would have cussed him out and made a scene. And so for me, I was very disappointed that she didn't come, but at the same time, I didn't really want her to come and, you know, and show out at the baby shower. But luckily for us, after Blaze was born, my mom has totally changed. Like, Blaze being born has, like, healed our family in such a way.
That's beautiful.
Prior to Blaze being born, they weren't speaking at all. Wow. And my mom wasn't even coming over our house. Oh. Now my mom comes over often. Her and Todd talk and laugh together now. So it's been a blessing.
You know, the beginning of the season was really difficult for me because I knew the date to start filming. Mm-hmm. And literally everything that was happening to me happened either that week or a week and a half before we started filming. So, you know, when you talk to the producers and it's like, all right, we're coming over your house this day to see your home life. And I'm like, what home life? Like, my world is upside down right now.
That was crazy.
And I signed up to be on the show. I signed up to have my personal life be known in all aspects.
Like, no holds barred.
Whether when it's good and when it's bad.
You're just very real. It's not something that you come across all the time.
I love that people love me for it, but it's hard to do.
It's hard.
You know, at that moment, PJ was only 2 months, had just turned 2 months, I believe.
Yeah.
I hadn't gone back to work yet. I was still on maternity leave. At that point, it's like, all right, I got to start figuring out what's happening in my world. And I didn't know. I didn't know what to tell anybody. But what I didn't know at the time, because I'm not a doctor, I had never had a child before, I had never been that close with someone who had had a newborn, is that I was actually going through postpartum depression. So I didn't know what was happening. All I knew is that I wasn't mentally able to do much of anything. At the same time I'm going through all this, my fiance and I are breaking up. And so he was a very, very, very big part of my support system. So here I am going through this brand new hormonal change and this depression that I didn't know had hovered into my life. And now a big chunk is gone, which is him. Because even though he cheated, he still was somebody that I love. He still was very much there for me every second of the day, anything I needed, you know, the person I would lean on. So at that point, now I have my mom. And so my mom was really the one to, like, be like, listen, you just got to keep moving forward. She would physically come in there and be like, get up, you know, take a shower. And now let's spend time with PJ. Now you're done. Now go back upstairs and lay down. And she literally walked me through a lot of that. And it was a very physical depression. I have been depressed in my past before, but it was really mental. Nobody even knew what was happening. But that type of depression was totally different. Like, I looked like it and I felt like it. And I couldn't physically do certain things because mentally everything had just, you know, shut down. But the first thing I did, which I can thank myself for, was tell myself that it was okay not to know.
Oh my God, you're making me cry. No, because she was so fearless. I don't know why I'm crying.
I know. She was there with me every step of the way, first of all. So, of course.
There's a lot. It was a lot. And she's so, like, she's really a strong, this is really annoying because I don't want to cry my makeup off, but, like, you were just so, and she was a new mom and just so amazing because it's so hard.
Yeah, it was. It was difficult. And just through prayer and having my mom and having PJ, knowing that she was there and that I needed to be functional for her, was really what I think pulled me out of it, you know? And it was something very difficult to do on television. I can say that when I watched it back, I don't think it totally captured all of it, which I'm glad, but it did show a lot of those very real moments that was what I was really going through. So, I'm very honest, and I was honest to show that truth. So I'm gonna be honest now enough to say that I can't say that it's completely gone, but I can say that it's definitely padded away for me to at least work on a piece of myself and have a piece of me that's getting well. And all I can do is compartmentalize my life and say, this piece, you know, work is in order. You know, the relationship is over here, I'm working on it. I'm being a good mom here, and I'm taking self-care time here. That's all I can do. All I know is that as a new mom, even when you're going through all of that stuff, with me being a TV personality, I had to hurry and put it somewhere. Ooh. Because I had to instantly get on Dish Nation and be Portia on Dish Nation. So, you know, I will say I do have to still take the time to take care of that. In 2020, I definitely have on my vision board a space of centering myself and taking care of that piece that I've put away that I dealt with at that time.
So, Portia, you and Dennis have a pretty tough conversation about living arrangements.
So, look, man, I know you want me to be out here all the time. That can't happen, man.
You want to be out here all the time. This is where your family is.
I ain't want to move all my stuff back in here.
Why?
And then you get mad, and then you put all my shit back out.
There was a reason that happened before.
Do you have a plan to move in together?
We're pretty much still in the place of figuring out how to heal. Like, and that process is good some days, it's bad some days. It's just up and down. We're just figuring it out. Me the most, right? Because you have to build up that trust, and it's not easy.
Do you have any need for timing on the wedding?
I'm not necessarily putting a time stamp on anything. Whatever feels natural. Yeah. Whatever feels natural, that's it. I can't just say, okay, all right, I want to be married this day, and before this day, we got to move in together, we got to do this, I can't. I just have to go with a feeling.
Tanya, how long is too long to be engaged?
You don't have to rush for nobody.
No,
you guys are living your life for each other, however you do it, and you just make it happen however you make it happen. It's like really what it is, day by day.
Yeah, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other.
Right, right. Portia, do you feel confident you'll eventually end up living under the same roof? Or do you feel like, you know what, if that's not the way this looks like, that's okay too?
Oh, well, I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here with a ring on if I didn't have hope that we could get to a better place. You know, that's the destination. You know, the time in which it happens is something that God knows and that we will figure out, and it'll all fall into place. You know, God is not about confusion and things being in question and somebody being uncomfortable or whatever. God is all about love. You will clearly know what you need to know when it's the time. So, you know, I feel like we just need to walk our path, and then eventually, boom, we'll end up at the destination.
Where are you and Portia at this point in y'all's relationship? Because I know that you guys, you know, were friends, and I really did my best in Greece to make it clear to Portia, regardless of whatever
that I have written for her,
you guys have been through, you definitely ride for her, and I know you valued her friendship.
I definitely
and
valued
I really
her friendship.
Tried to make that clear. Where are you guys now?
We're not. My issue with Portia, straight up and down, is that what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. She started our feud to begin with by being messy about the Kenyan situation.
I just thought it was a little odd to even didn't bring her kids because she knew about the Kenyan's energy.
I've never been negative to that girl my whole life.
Of course you could take your kids where you want. The only reason I was asking where her kids were in the first place is because I had imagined a costume for her kids. So I was like, why didn't you bring them? Because I was trying to see what you were gonna put little Mikey in. That's the only reason I asked her. It's not like I was doing anything super shady. When she said to me, oh, the kids are at school, I was like, that doesn't make sense. I thought you were gonna bring in LaVoy.
I was scared. You know, these little group events sometimes can get crazy. And I
just
wanted.
It's a kid group event. And then she said, well, to be honest with you, the last couple times I've been around Kenya, you know, it's been kind of funky. And so when I talked to Kenya, of course, that means you didn't like her energy, right? Meanwhile, I didn't even realize that Cynthia was the one standing there using the word energy.
You know, you want to make sure the energy's right.
So that's, because it fit. That's the reason why Cynthia said energy. Because you're basically saying you don't know about Kenya's energy, and that's why you didn't want to bring your kids. So when I talked to Kenya in natural housewife fashion, I'm going to repeat it and say that I felt like that was odd that she didn't bring her kids.
So she went too far and was super messy, and I respond to her being super messy.
Portia told her that you basically said that you didn't bring your kids to the party because you didn't know about Kenya's energy.
Portia just had a baby. And I tiptoed around her whole little feelings. Come on now, bitch, you want me to go off. Portia, she got enough bullshit going on in her life, and she can converse about that. She needs some business. And I can forward her a lot of these blogs so she can mind that business. Portia might want to stay all the way about my business.
She still got her C-section healing. She over here worried about somebody else's baby.
When Candy first told me, I didn't believe it. I put no weight on it whatsoever. And I told Candy at that very moment, I'll ask her when we get to Canada. You are the main one out of all of these girls who says, girl, I got you. I will never let nobody say nothing about your personal life. For you to go on a rant and just be like, is she even f***ing healed from her C-section scar? Like, you know what, matter of fact, let me bring up the blog. Why not bring up the blogs on Dennis? For me to hear that you threw that shit in the air as a friend, it hurt. I'm not gonna lie. That shit really did hurt me.
I want to respond to it because that was definitely not what I said.
Even came to me after the fact and was like, how dare you? You know, don't come at me like that. You know I have your back always. I'm a part of your village. I had already told Eva, I get if you were upset. Of course, fine, vent. But for you to talk about my baby, talk about my fiance at the time, all that, it was like, oh, you're doing too much. Like, you went way deep. And I just didn't feel she needed to do all that. It was when I watched it, like, girl, you mad like that? I mean, she said it like she hated me, like, oh, hurt, Like, she was talking about an enemy, someone she had never even been friends with.
Who are you to dictate how I respond to how you hit me?
Do you get why she's so upset, though?
What? What are we upset about? The fact that I said you had a C-section, you did. You told the world. You went on Instagram and told the entire world about your C-section. So for me to say, hold on, shouldn't she be healing from a C-section versus being messy as shit about me? I'm sorry, where's the lie? Where is the lie?
She said stuff about Dennis forward to the blogs, which she knew had been hurtful to him. And her husband is his attorney. So it was just like, girl, you are wrong on all levels. Then she's like, oh, PJ looks like Dennis with a ball. But my thing is, I know my daughter looks like her dad. But you're trying to say it in the same tone as cursing me out. So that means you're saying it within a negative way. So, bitch, don't bring up my child. That's when I was like, okay, girl, I'm done with you. I really don't have anything else to say to you.
And at the end of the day, when it came to Portia and Dennis, the girls in this group know Eva Marcel Sterling wanted nothing negative to do with that. Yeah. I wouldn't talk about it. I wouldn't bring it up. It was like pulling teeth when it came to get me to say anything, even to comment about it. So for it to then be turned around as if I'm over here just dragging her with the lack of respect for her and her situation and him, I'm like, look. Was I pissed off? I was extremely pissed off because someone that I thought was my friend creating a whole issue over here. And I'm like, why would you do that? I'm pregnant. I'm supposed to be your friend and you're being messy. So I went off and I was upset. No question about it. Now, my intention behind my venting was not to hurt Portia's feelings or create some new drama or do blog shit or none of that. It was me venting.
Cynthia, is this the next project for you?
Oh,
getting these
Eva
two together?
Eva and Portia back together?
No.
Well, I'll take Eva and Portia before I take NeNe and Kenya. Yeah. That's for sure.
Tanya, this is now her second time hanging out with you, second season.
Yes.
In the mix. Do you see parallels between both of your first season and her?
Tanya. Oh, Tanya. She's so bubbly. What did NeNe name her? Tanada?
Tanya.
Yeah. Tanya is genuinely a well-intended, sweet girl.
Absolutely.
Like, she just is. She wasn't ready, I guess, like our first seasons, right. wasn't ready for what was to come, but she quickly learned.
Yeah, I think her cherry
got popped. She learned faster than I did.
Note to self, don't underestimate Kenya when it comes to petty.
Take me back to when this all started. Were there tensions between Kenya and Tanya from the start?
The big friction between Tanya and Kenya, I would say, was that wig.
Listen, I might have something on her.
I didn't think I was, like, exposing someone's alopecia and deep, dark secret. Yeah. Like, this felt so safe to me, I can't even tell you. Like, so it was our last dinner. You know, we'd had this great time. World War II had happened. We'd all come back. We were tired, right? Mm-hmm. So the dinner pops up, and we all make it there. Marlo comes. She's like, guys, I didn't have any glam. I'm wearing glasses. Like, we mm-hmm. were tired, okay? Marlo said to Kenya, she was like, Kenya, are you wearing a wig?
Kenya, I need to know, do you have on a wig tonight?
I didn't say that. Don't
you do, try. I can tell. See, pull it off.
Listen, don't set yourself up for insult.
Golly, I have on a wig. I have on a wig.
You got on a wig.
I'm asking. Okay, Lord Jesus.
And that conversation wasn't just one or two, you know, back and forth. It went on for quite a few minutes. And the end result was, you know, Kenya never admitted to wearing this wig. And she got so frustrated and defensive, she took off her microphone and left.
Oh, my God. Wow. But there ain't nothing wrong with wearing a wig.
This was interesting because it was really apparent. Like, it wasn't a you part. She was wearing a wig. I'm sitting beside her. We could all say it. And she, like, continued to deny it.
If I had a wig on a trip, does it negate the fact that I have long, thick, healthy hair to my waist? Mm-hmm. Everybody on earth has had their hands in my hair, which is the only way you can really tell if somebody is wearing extensions or not, fake wigs, whatever.
We all know very well that Kenya has more hair than anyone in the world.
Can I qualify?
For sure.
Kenya Moore has 24 inches of full virgin hair.
Kenya's hair is down to her ankles.
I have touched it. I have wanted to pull it quite a few times.
Her hair is that long. We all know this.
Does she wear wigs on top of her hair if she wants to? Absolutely. Does she want to promote that with a hair care line? No, not necessarily.
When it is my hair, I say it's my hair. When it's not, I tell people. So when in question, today is not. But yeah. When 90% of the time, it is. If you ask me directly, I won't lie.
Yeah, I need to know, do you have on a wig tonight?
Hey, Lord Jesus.
And if I don't want to tell you, then that's my choice, but I'm not going to lie about it. So what is it that you're trying to prove here?
For me, 2 days later, when I get a text, and it wasn't like, hey, girl, thanks for having me. I talked to all the other girls. They were like, best trip ever. It was like, hey, girl. I don't even think it was, hey, girl. Whatever it was. It was like, I left something there. Can you please pick it up at the front desk, right? I was like, okay. So come on. I can't tell you how funny it was when I opened up this little gift bag and it was a freaking wig. The wig that she left the table
that
at.
Wig.
I was like, this is hilarious. Like, this is so much fun. And maybe I'm like, you know, this is Tanya's quirky humor of like, if this isn't funny, I don't know what is, right? Like, I thought that was funny.
Initially, when I first heard about it, I was like, yes, Tanya for stepping up to the petty club.
Right.
Like, I was here for her being a little bit petty, considering that people had been.
And she was still, like, quirky.
It was fun petty.
You know, but when you do your petty and you know you're being petty, you got to own your petty completely.
You do have to own your petty.
You cannot be like, oh, well, I had to check the bag because I was going to, okay, fine, check the bag.
We
get all of that. Girl, you know you're not going to carry some mysterious bag across the border. We get all that.
This
but now please own the fact that you did not have to drive it 2 hours to Duluth to Jeju's spot. You
had
to do that.
No, she did not. But I think Tanya, new to this group, was trying to figure out how to fit. And she's like, look, this girl done pissed me off a few times.
Right.
She's been shady towards me.
Some.
She's been petty.
I got her
and she literally called me and left petty for me to pick up. I don't think she realized how big of a bomb she was gonna drop.
She thought it was a sparkler.
She did. But she didn't realize like, it was a Magnum bottle, Ace of Spades, New Year's Eve, big party.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't realize that. Because if Tanya would have just left the wig and let Kenya make it, honey, with that hair situation, it wouldn't have gone any further.
Right.
I think when Tanya went further on the petty,
you go to this lunch, right, where you're going to meet K Kenya.
Yes.
You're anticipating this meeting. What were your expectations?
Okay, so now it had like trickled down. Candy had brought back this wig and they were like, Kenya's gonna kill you. And I'm like, what?
Like, so I never,
yeah, I never thought it was gonna be this huge thing, but I'm like, okay, Kenya's gonna kill me. So we go to this thing and they're like, well, just talk about it. Cause Cynthia at this point now was like, I think you guys should be friends. You should just talk about it. I'm like, I'm fine to talk about it. Like, great. So I thought we were gonna go there and it was gonna be like, I'm really sorry that I didn't give you back your wig. And it was not what I thought was gonna happen.
The fact is you were a real
Oh, don't say that.
Yes, you were. Get lost.
Disgusting.
I was like,
the C word.
Yes. Portia's like,
yeah, she was so, okay, so when I talked to Tanya about it, she was furious over the C word Tuesday.
I was.
And you know me, we don't call each other that. I have been around Kenya cursing plenty of people out. I've been in a cursing match with her, and I have never called her one. She's never called me one. At this point, we've used bitch so much, it's almost like girl or chick, you know, or like, hey, chica,
it
hey,
sure
bitch.
Is.
You know, so when you said that she called you the see you next Tuesday, I'm like, well, damn, what would make her call you that?
The fact is you are real.
The C word was just a little different. That hit very different.
Oh, she like
and
it spotted
was, it
out
it like came from her gut. Like she meant it and it landed very well. And it was like, I could see how that could have affected you that day.
That wasn't like, just
that
like,
was, yes. It was pretty rough.
How about going to the C word?
Yeah. You know what? Listen, I am rarely angry on this show. People who watch this show know that I rarely lose my cool. Have I ever even lost my cool on this show?
You are a dumb hoe. Shut up.
Security.
Security.
Mom,
does that mean
one more time?
Yes. Take it. Worry about your life and the daughter you pimp out for John Legend ticket.
Stop it.
Let's get the truth.
The fact is you are a real
I certainly lost my cool because now that I have a daughter and I work so hard on my hair care line and it's my baby, I don't have a man taking care of me. I didn't marry a rich man to come up in this world and to wear Chanel and designer clothes every day.
So ladies, if you allow me, I'm going to take you on a fashion journey.
Just the shade assassin again.
No, I'm just saying, I didn't have that. My legacy and my hair care line is for my daughter. And so when she did that, I felt like she was trying to discredit everything I've worked so hard for. And that is why I lost my cool, because it has everything to do with my child and my legacy.
But when she explained that her coins come from promoting natural hair and hair growth, mm-hmm. and she has products to support that. And so then to say that what I am promoting and supporting and mm-hmm. have is not real, I can understand her frustration. I think it is a misunderstanding, but I could totally appreciate her frustration. Oh, yeah.
I did own it and I did certainly apologize for it, but I certainly don't take back the fact that I brought the cookie lady to that table to get, you know, her rendition of what the story is.
I thought that even that, the C word was where it would have ended as a consequence to bringing the wig, okay? When the next level was when the cookie lady came and it was like, aha! When bringing an actual woman around our group was like very new and very, to me, it was definitely below the belt.
So the cookie lady.
So you know your boy, Paul?
Yes. Titanic. What?
Nothing, but he kind of like was all over me.
What was your first reaction when you saw that? What was Paul's first reaction?
He was mad. Yeah. He was really, really mad. When we first saw it, he was like livid, like, that's a lie! Like,
oh, well, she said his name.
Paul.
Paul, right? And he was like, what? I barely even remember that person.
You saw that?
That's my hair would piss me off.
And she was
that
like,
that would have pissed me off.
So that's going to be a split screen, by the way.
Do it with lips, because it's even better.
Is this my camera?
Yeah. Yes.
So you guys know
Paul.
Girl, can you drop your tongue down talking about somebody else's man?
You said you don't want me to go somewhere.
Girl, I've been around Paul, and he wouldn't care where you go.
But eventually you met her in person. So how was that? Tell me about meeting the cookie lady.
It was pretty shocking. I just did not expect that. We're in this, like, it's a very rocky conversation, and in walks this lady with cookies. So I saw her coming and I was just like, I just saw this box of like whatever baked goods, and I was like, no way.
Did you know?
No, but you could, I just, you, as soon as I saw this person coming in and like there was a camera on her, I was like,
okay,
no way.
I think I had a hat on that day. I literally wanted to crawl in my hat. Like, I wanted to crawl.
No, your eyes were like, oh my God. No, it was crazy. Like, we both, like, even for Kenya, I did not think in a million years that she was going to bring this lady to the lunch.
I was kicking you under the table. You were across from me, Tanya was next to me, and Kenya was right there. And when the cookie lady came up, we and you have eaten at that restaurant before, and we have been here for 40 minutes. I have not seen this waitress. She does not work here. And when I started kicking you, like, is this the cookie bitch?
Right.
Oh my God.
I was just like, keep your cool. Keep your cool. Because I was like, this is kind of pathetic.
What did you think of her story? What did you think of her?
Here's the craziest thing. It was so weak. I don't know if I said it, but I was like, why are you here? Like, why are you here? Because she could have, like I said, she could have lied, she could have said anything. And she basically was like, exposed herself for, oh, well, a bunch of guys bought me and my sister drinks, thirsty. And, you know, there was conversation back and forth. And I gave him my card, he accepted it. And that was really it. Like, there was no numbers exchange. He didn't take her number. I was like, that's your story? Really? And you came on national television? So I'm actually, in a way, I'm like, great. Because that was like the stupidest, weakest story. And let me tell you one thing. I said this over and over to all the other girls. I go, let me tell you something. If anyone tried to do that on your Mr. Michael Sterling or Mr. Todd Tucker, you would have literally ripped them limb from limb.
Oh, no. Candy would have gone crazy. She'd like, have drugged somebody. Like she said, I'm going to drag you in this bitch.
Yeah.
She would have drugged somebody.
Way. No. There is no way. So,
and Cynthia would have been kicking. Well, I commend you, because that could not have been me.
I have like some real badass ladies that I feel like I channeled in that moment, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, you would have had to.
Yeah.
You did a good job. After that, I probably wouldn't have gave her anything. Like, why
would
I give
you anything? Yeah, I just kind of was like, okay. And then it was Kenya and I was like, you thought this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you orchestrated this, you put intentional time and effort into doing this, and you thought this was okay. I was just like, why would you do this?
You know, I'm a shade assassin. So, listen, you asked for it, lady. So you came for me. Let the record show you came for me first.
So this week we see you talking about Kenya questioning your friendship with Shamia.
Yeah. It was definitely a weird moment that happened there. Mm-hmm. So everybody was going around telling their stories, and Shamia was sharing the day she gave birth to Shia. She got to the point where she was saying, you know, my water broke, I was so scared.
My water broke, got the epidural, I still feel this extreme amount of pain. Mm-hmm. It didn't go through.
And then Kenya just jumped in and was like, oh yeah, you called me.
You text me and you were like, I think my water broke, and it was so early on.
Kenya was saying that she was the first person that Shamia called when her water broke, and that she had asked her, where's your husband? Are you alone? And then she leaned into me and was like, you weren't there. I don't know where you were.
I don't know where Portia was. I think Portia was doing something else working that day.
So it was like, oh, you know, I would have been there for her if she would have called me. And I'm listening, you know, because I'm in the supportive mode, but I'm kind of like, what, she called you first?
No,
like,
but wait everybody a minute. Here, so everyone was like, oh, I didn't know, Portia, you weren't there. Like, right? I really was like, oh, that's weird. I never knew that.
And if you even thought, I didn't know she would call Kenya first, Kenya made sure you understood that I wasn't available.
Yes.
So as a bad friend.
Let me tell you, Shamia's husband, Gerald, the whole, like, you know what I mean? He's not unavailable.
He's right there for Shamia's. Right?
Yes.
Well, first of all, her birth story, if she would have been able to continue and not been interrupted with that, was she was at dinner with her husband and she went home and changed her clothes.
Because she broke her water on the chair.
With her husband and then went to the hospital to her doctor. So after that, I just kind of took it in and kind of was taken aback a little bit. Didn't say anything because the vibe is beautiful. Afterwards, Shamia comes to me and she's like, I just want you to know, like, I did not call Kenya first. I don't know why she said that. That is not okay. I feel like she was trying to make you look bad, and I don't like that because I absolutely did not call her.
Shamia walked up to me pissed. She said, I did not call that girl when my water broke.
Oh, my God. Okay, wait now, Portia. They had some kind of conversation. You do know
look,
that.
Shamia, she showed me a text where Kenya had texted her after the day of her birth. In the text, she's saying to Kenya, girl, my water broke while I was out. And Kenya's like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Oh, but I thought you said she called you when it broke.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how you acting surprised when she told you after the fact?
And I was like, well, why would she say that? I was like, why would she do that? Because I'm at an event. I'm putting on this event to show my support to women that I don't even know, that I will love on you and be there for you, and you need to know that the sisterhood of that. And at the very event, you're going to say that I wasn't there for my best friend. So it kind of was like, I really was shocked, if anything, because I felt like Kenya and I have come a long way. Yeah, we shade each other a little bit here and there. I shade her. I'm a fun shader. It's what I do. I think it's funny. If she tells me she doesn't like it, I guess I stop. But I, you know, so it's all been kind of fun and like light.
But this
so
felt
for
like
me, this felt like a attack a little bit. And I was like, well, damn, I didn't want to even really let it sink in that Kenya was doing that. But I was upset with that. I didn't like the way
it was
that
wrong
felt.
Place,
I didn't
wrong
like
time.
The way it probably made me look either with her saying that I was not available for Shamia.
That whole was other thing. So
weird. That was so weird.
Somehow it went from how beautiful her event was and these rainbow babies to Kenya, you know, made this big deal and told people at the event when we were all telling our stories that she was there for Shamia when her water broke. And that was, in fact, not the case.
I do not believe for one millimeter of a second that Kenya would just imagine in her mind that, you know, she was there for Shamia during whatever it was that was going on, whether water was breaking or whatever. If she said they were talking on the phone and she was supporting her and trying to talk her through it or whatever, I absolutely think it happened.
That was some made-up drama.
What exactly was it said?
It was something about I try to make up that she called me when her water broke. But we did have a conversation.
Right.
No, your water, you did text me about something happening with your water, right. Whether it was breaking, you didn't know. And I was responding, I was pregnant myself. And I was like, do you need me to come? Where are you? Where's your husband? Because I was really concerned because her baby could die that way. Mm-hmm. So I was really concerned, like, where are you? I'll come, you know, because Shamia, I've supported her throughout her entire pregnancy and Portia. And so I was really, really, actually really hurt that they tried to turn that around on me as though it was something menacing or I was making it up. For her to buy into that, Portia, I felt betrayed by Portia too, because this was all when I wasn't a housewife. I was home pregnant alone. And so they were my pregnant friends. Mm-hmm. And we all supported each other. So for them to turn on me with some straight bullshit, I was like livid and really, really hurt by that.
So you weren't trying to suggest at any point that Portia wasn't there for Shamia during her pregnancy. Is that right?
No, Portia didn't have anything to do with it. It just seemed so stupid and made up.
Cynthia, you just mentioned that you've been on for 10 seasons now. So how has being on the show changed for you since your first time on? What's it like this season versus the past?
You know, I'm kind of like Eva. When I first came on the show, I felt like I was a cute little fluffy, adorable Pomeranian. That was literally thrown in a playground full of pit bulls and Rottweilers. Like, I really thought, oh, you know what? If I'm nice to them, they're going to be nice to me. Like, they're going to love me. Like, everybody likes me. I'm not, like, that unlikable. You know what I'm saying? So that didn't happen. I was, like, labeled as a single black female. So anyway, I feel like at this point, season 10, I probably have a little less patience, a.k.a. 50 cent, 52 cent now. You know what?
You're very
reciprocity.
Savvy, though.
But reciprocity, though. I will give you back the energy that you give me. That is it.
Well, all right. And then one thing some of the ladies have said is that Kenya has changed a lot over the years.
I just feel that she was a lot more humbler. Now it's different. It's like, who are you?
What do you think?
I mean, I think, you know, I've known Kenya for a while now. I think that Kenya is still pretty much Kenya at the core. She's just a mom now, which has kind of changed her a little bit because, you know, becoming a parent definitely changes you. I love seeing her be a mom, but be clear. Just because she is Brooklyn's mama don't mean that she won't get you together and come for you. Like, that part has not changed. That's Kenya. Everyone knows that.
But it's so weird, though, because I have not known Kenya half as long as you have, and I do not have the same relationship you have with her. But if I look at all of the women, Kenya, besides from you, is actually the sweetest and coolest in our circle. And I say it because, don't get me wrong, she'll be petty, and she'll blow up. Mm-hmm. I think that she's just that kind of a person. She was that kid in school. She was always the loudest one in the room. I think that's her by nature. But when there is no one around, not even you, no cameras, that girl checks on me, finds out how the baby is doing, the bassinet my son sleeps in, she hand-delivered and put together and brought to my house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, on the holidays.
Oh, yeah, I remember all that.
None of the, like, on-the-blog stuff's like Portia does. I'm talking about the when nobody sees it stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and I'm so glad you brought that up because, sweetheart. You know, she has my back 100%.
100%.
And she's very much like, she has been a very, very good friend to me.
Versus
which is
other
why,
people that look nice,
again,
that they're not.
When she does, you know, when she makes a mistake or does some dumb shit, I'm able to move past it because it's just not a deal breaker when you have someone that really, you know, you can call at 3 a.m. and pour your, you know, heart out to and know that it stays there. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not going to carry your secrets. She's not going to use your secrets against you once you guys fall out. She's not going to do any of that.
Right.
And that's the kind of person I am.
I like her.
Now, if you cross her, however, as Tanya did with
the wig. Well, you don't have to cross her, because I didn't cross her.
Right.
All I did was give her a doll in a blanket.
Right.
So, as much as I think to the core, Kenya is definitely a sweet person. There's a lot of petty in there. Mm. And sometimes tacky, because she will re-gift your whole Pottery Barn kids gift.
In your face.
In your face.
Yeah.
You know we're going to be hearing more about Mark, Dennis, the cookie lady, and that Buffalo comment.
You can catch the Real Housewives of Atlanta Season 12 reunion on Sunday, May 10th at 8, 7 Central.
And make sure you're subscribed to the Daily Dish podcast so you don't miss an episode.
Bye.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, Miss